What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Locked On Eagles. We are in the playoffs. I will try to compose myself as much as possible. Let's just get right into it. Locked On Eagles podcast. Post-game show, the Eagles defeat Washington 24-0. But the more important story, Gino Camilleri joining me, my co-host as always, the Chicago Bears pulled it off for us. They take down the Minnesota Vikings, and the Eagles are in the playoffs at 9-7.
Dude, you know how I've been harping on this season all year and just saying how unilateral it is to previous seasons. And 2008 just came full circle. We needed Chicago on that day in December 2008 to lose, and they did. And this time we needed them to win, and they got our back. Trey Burton, Cody,
I was going to say, yep.
They came in clutch for their old Eagles boys. They basically wrote themselves a death sentence because there's no team hotter than the Eagles right now.
I was going to say, Chicago, your prize for beating the Vikings is now you have to play the red-hot Philadelphia Eagles. That team that we saw today with that defensive line, with Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett and Brandon Graham playing as good as they are, and with how sharp that offense looks with Doug Peterson just on his game right now, that's your prize, is having to play this team. This might be the best sixth seed I've ever seen. This is a terrifying Eagles team that is hot at the exact moment. We always talk about, teams just get in and get it hot at the right moment, right? The 2007 Giants, the Baltimore Ravens, the 2010 Green Bay Packers. Just get in, and if you get hot at the right time, you are going to be dangerous, and there is no team more dangerous in the NFL right now than the Eagles, who have won five of their last six games.
Yeah, man, it's just like 2008. They went to the NFC Championship game and lose by a touchdown. They almost won it, and they probably would have beat Pittsburgh that year. I always say it. They sacked Ben Roethlisberger in a game earlier that season seven times. So when teams get hot and they have the momentum, which this Philadelphia Eagles team does, they can be deadly. If they run the ball like they did today, if their defensive line comes out and plays like the defensive line from 2017, like they look like today, man, oh man, teams are in trouble. Mitch Trubisky, good luck next week.
And they're tackling. The Eagles' defense is the tackling.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
And they get
Did it come from?
And then they get these turnovers again. My boy, Rasul Douglas, with an interception on the first offensive play of the game. Josh Johnson, I'll give it to him, man. I think he's played his heart out the past couple weeks. But he can't throw a deep ball. He cannot lead a receiver. Because when Corey Graham is out running your pass, being able to run from sideline to sideline to break up a ball.
he developed a range.
Yeah, that's why he was – Josh Johnson was playing in an amateur league before this. Let's be real with Josh Johnson. The Eagles handled business like they should have. And just, I'm still speechless. This was the, when you go back, the Saints game, when they lost that one, they're at 4-6. You're not feeling good. And then when they lose to the Cowboys in that overtime game, that to me, if you go back and listen to that podcast where I soloed, and you were out of town, it was the saddest podcast I've ever recorded, because I thought there was no way. Remember when me and you were going through the playoff machine scenarios throughout the shows the past month and a half, we kept saying man, this Vikings team and this Panthers team, they already beat us with the head-to-head. The Eagles would need a lot of help for them to make the wild card. It's basically NFC East or bust. And the Cowboys win the division, and the Eagles still make the playoffs as the wild card team. I'm still in utter disbelief that this team makes it at 9-7. But I am this is not the dominating team of last year that just could not be beat. But this team, the resiliency, it starts with that Cowboys game with those defensive players playing two full games, basically, of snaps, right? And then after that game, they never looked back. The turnovers, the tackling, the pass rush getting there. Fletcher Cox, a man possessed. We're going to be soon talking about Hall of Fame status for Fletcher Cox.
Absolutely.
I'm just, the fanboy in me is coming out, but I'm just the pride in this 2018 Philadelphia Eagles team, this was the grittiest Eagles season, the toughest comeback. It was 2008, but more to me. The things they've had to overcome with injuries. I mean, you see Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox. Avante Maddox Island has been on lockdown for 3 weeks now. We're a fourth-round pick from Pittsburgh, a guy that a lot of people were saying, why did we draft him? Because we had so many corners at the time. Remember, we had Daryl Worley still on the roster, and you're thinking, where is this guy going to fit? He's locking down on the outside, playing in the slot. At safety, you got Cravion LeBlanc. It's what this team has overcome and how the coaching staff has bounced back with Doug Peterson's play calling and Jim Schwartz. It's just, it's night and day where this team is right now from that Saints game. Doug Peterson even talked about it this week, that Saints game, how they didn't let that derail their season. I can't believe since then the Eagles have won 5 of their last 6 games.
Man, this season has made me so emotional. This 2018 calendar year has made me so emotional.
I know, the magic of this year it won't run out.
I tweeted it. I said, it's still the year of the dog on the Chinese calendar, and this Eagles team, they're just soaking up every second of it. Let's just go back a second to this time last year. Nick Foles was being questioned to be benched for Nate Sudfeld going into the playoffs. Those discussions happened. Carson Wentz, we lost him for the year. There was no going back. They overcame adversity, win 3 straight playoff games, wins their first Super Bowl. In the offseason, you have Carson Wentz, who's still recovering from his injury. Elshon Jeffrey had a big injury that he was coming back from. Brandon Graham. Countless others are coming back from injury. They don't open the season with half of these guys. Nick Foles is out there playing with guys like Kamar, Aiken, and DeAndre Carter. They have a 1-1 start. Carson Wentz comes back. There's so much promise. They come out, do well. They have a bunch of... How many defeats did we say where these were the worst defeats all season?
Right, like
the Tennessee game. The
Carolina game
Dallas.
Especially.
You can go through every single one of those. How many times that they... People have counted them out. Like time and time again, they've just been counted out. And there's all these stories. Oh, there's a quarterback controversy. They have no running game. Can the defense close it out in the last couple minutes of the game? They said, screw the media. We're 53 guys who last year, with everybody at our back, said, you know what? We're going to buck up and we're going to play football. They're going to go out there on Sundays and play football, and they're going to overcome every single obstacle that comes in their way. They lose to New Orleans in embarrassing fashion. The next week, they come out in a must-win game. They lose that game. Everybody thinks they're done, and you know what? Once again, they put on their boots. They bucked up, beat the Rams, which nobody thought they could win that game. They beat the Texans, who were fighting for a first-round bye. And then they come out this week, shut out a division opponent, which is no easy feat ever, regardless of who's at quarterback. And history was on their side, and the Bears helped them out. And, man, just hats off to everybody within that team, because they have done so much with so little. You said these injuries. You're playing with guys like Cravon LeBlanc, and they had to sign Boston Scott, who doesn't even sound like a real person.
I mean, Chandon Sullivan.
Chandon Sullivan and Trey Sullivan. And
Devontae Bosby.
Who did Fletcher Cox have helping him on defensive tackle? This team
was like
just
Hector
been so,
and...
Yeah. It's been so rummaged with injuries and just everything going against them, and yet again, they're sitting here. I can't even... Like, it just is so shocking. I have goosebumps just talking about this 9-7 team that's at a 6th seed, which we've seen them in this position before be a dangerous team. And a city of Philadelphia, who's a blue-collar city, who, as cliche as it is, you think of Rocky and you think of the guy who's always been beat down. This team has been beat down. Critics have beat them down all year long. And guess what? They're back. They're defending their Super Bowl title. And I have a pretty goddamn good feeling about this team.
I was going to say, like, the fact that we're in and we have a chance is all I wanted. I did not want to have to talk about what roster holes they need to fill and where are we going to go with free agency and, you know, the Brandon Graham contract and is Jason Peters, was this Jason Peters and Nick Foles and Brandon Graham and was it all these guys their last game as an Eagle? And, you know, there's all these different storylines that, like, I didn't want to get to yet. I wasn't ready for that. And the fact that we at least for one more week get to see this team try to defend their title is just incredible. And it was such a long shot because you head into today, like, I was feeling really good about that Washington game. I don't think there was any doubt with how good this team has been the past month that they were going to beat Josh Johnson and the Redskins. But the fact that you had to have Chicago not only beat Minnesota, they had to be motivated enough to keep their starters in the entire game. And I am honestly shocked that they did it, because when you look at halftime, when the Bears went into the locker room, the 49ers were down by, I believe, 18 points. And look, I know it would look really bad for Chicago if they pulled their starters and the Niners end up coming back and beating the Rams, they ended up losing 48-32, so they actually stuck with them a good amount throughout the game. But 18 points was enough for me. If I'm Matt Nagy, I'd be like, let's pull our guys. But they were already winning by 10 points. They decided to keep their starters in, and now, again, their prize is that they get to play the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know it's at home, and the Bears look really good right now on defense and on offense as well. But, again, this Eagles team, like, if you were telling me one team, I would not, like, give me Dallas. I'd rather play Seattle. I don't know, man. Like, the only team that I would fear more than this Eagles team right now in the NFC is the Saints. Like, even the Rams, you look at Jared Goff. I mean, before this game against the Niners, the past three games, he had one touchdown and five interceptions. Like, they're coming off the rails, too. They're winning football games, but they're beating up on the weak opponents in the NFC West.
I think you said it perfectly. I'm not scared about Dallas at all. They just played their starters the whole game today for what? Literally nothing was on the line, but whatever. Everybody but Zeke
that's all right.
Played.
He's a free, I thought you messed up Dak's name. Like, it's all right.
No.
He's a free.
Yeah, whatever. I don't. I can care about them. They're going to be out. Seattle's hot. I'm really worried about them. That's one team that concerns me. But, man, if you don't think this team wants to redeem themselves, after beating Chicago, they have a guaranteed chance to play New Orleans again, where they were embarrassed on national television. Oh, dude, this team is just, they're just watering at the mouth to play that team again. And we still have to play Chicago. But like you said, their defense is unbelievable. We saw that today with Kirk Cousins. But this Eagles team has played very good defensive lines the last 3 weeks. Washington still has Ryan Kerrigan, who always gives them fits. Last week, Lane Johnson shut down J.J. Watt.
They shut down Aaron Donald before that.
Exactly. So if Chicago's offense, who isn't really that great, they didn't impress me today against Minnesota. They really haven't impressed me all season long. I think it's a good chance. I we'll have to look more into the game planning going forward. But right now, this Eagles team, Fletcher Cox, hats off to him, has a career year with literally no help outside of the defensive ends. I mean, he didn't have Jernigan most of the time. He didn't have that depth with Bo Allen that he had last year, and he just lit it up. Michael Bennett, Howie Roseman, take a freaking bow, man, because every week he just gets better and better. And Chris Long shows up today, and Brandon Graham. Who wants to play this team? Like, nobody wants to play this Philadelphia Eagles team.
The most important parts of a football team, they're, for the Eagles, are peaking at the exact time.
Exactly.
Both lines right now, with how good the offensive line and the defensive line are playing, the coaching. Like, again, Doug Peterson, there was a point today, and, like, the quarterback, I mean, we've had to read and listen to the Wentz Foles nonsense for about three straight weeks now, because, you know, Foles deserves a lot of credit for what he did, starting with that Rams game, helping to turn around this offense. I feel like when he came in, he pushed the other players, not really by what he said or did, but more so they knew they had to step up their play because Nick Foles is not the talent that Carson Wentz is. They all had to step up their game. You did not see the offensive line and the coaching, the play calling, be as good with Carson Wentz as it has been with Foles. But you see Foles come in, he allowed the offense to be more simple, he took shots down the field, he showed like the toughness. I mean, you go back a week ago, standing in the pocket and delivering that throw while Clowney just drills him in the ribs, and then he gets hit in the ribs again today, finally gets knocked out of the game. But, I mean, this guy's just, he is literally lightning in a bottle. He broke another, or he tied another NFL record today. He, at one point, had 25 straight passes that were complete. I mean, I know a lot of them were running backs. Doug, a lot of the time today, it was all about time of possession. At one point, it was 34 minutes of time of possession for the Eagles to 7 minutes for Washington. What'd they finish total, the Eagles? Was it
in,
over
40
minutes? Time of possession.
I couldn't get the final stat on it, but it was
like
close
over 40
to
minutes,
it.
Right? I mean,
yep.
It was almost
yeah, it
right
was
there.
Over 40.
So they were, I mean, they were running the football. A lot of the passes were going to Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood and Sproles. They were really utilizing those three. But 25 straight completions, like Foles just, he was mistake-free outside of that first interception, and I'm going to miss the hell out of these guys. I really hope that, I know Brandon Graham might get a big contract. I don't know what Jason Peters' future is. I don't know if he's going to retire. I know Foles won't be here next year. It's going to, man, I'm trying to enjoy this wave, like you said, ride this wave before we started the show, before this season's over, because you never know when a lot of these guys are going to leave. You don't know when these guys might not be Eagles anymore. And that's why, exactly. I mean, the fact that we have a chance at one more run, potentially, with these players playing high-end football right now. Like, this isn't a team that just limped into the playoffs and has no shot. Like, this is not the 2017
Like they
Buffalo.
Did last year.
Yeah, this is not a 2017 Buffalo Bills team that needed some help like we did, and then they get in and they get smoked by the Jaguars because they really had no business being in the playoffs anyway. This is not them. Like, this Eagles team was supposed to be one of the best in football this year.
Yeah, I mean, look at last year. Like I said to preface this episode, people were talking about Nate Sudfeld starting that Atlanta game. Like, we just like to put that out of mind how bad Nick Foles played in those previous 2 weeks. On Christmas against the Raiders, they won that game, but he did not instill confidence into anybody. And then the first couple series against Dallas, too, they didn't end up scoring any points. So I'm feeling way better about this team currently, even with all the injuries on defense, because they are playing as a cohesive unit. Like you said, Avante Maddox continues to be arguably the best cornerback this team has seen as a rookie since, Alito Shepard and Sheldon Brown.
Shepard or Brown. I mean, we have never seen someone this promising. And this is what we were hoping Sidney Jones was going to be this year. And again, the health, I'm like, we're definitely not giving up on Sidney Jones, but Maddox right now is what me and you were hoping Jones was going to be.
Yeah, and it's great because you see him come out, and I think the competition with this young core of cornerbacks next year will just increase how good they actually are.
I mean, Russell Douglas led the team in tackles again today,
too. Dude, he intercepted the first ball of the game. That was unbelievable.
It's just, you see the secondary, we talked about the injuries. Timmy Jernigan coming back, he had a big day today against Washington.
He looked explosive off the ball today.
And you didn't see that. Very good. The first couple games, like that first game he came back against the Giants, he looked out of shape, he looked slow. I mean, he almost looked like Haloti Ngata. Today, he looked like the Timmy Jernigan of the first half of 2017, where you couldn't double-team Fletcher Cox because Timmy Jernigan was coming after your quarterback.
Yeah, I loved seeing Jernigan step up. Brandon Graham once again looked super explosive off the ball. Chris Long looked great. The tackling looked great. Nigel Bradham was making some plays around the field. They were breaking up tons of passes. It just bravo to everybody. But real quick, Mike Kay of NJ.com just got a quote from Mike Wallace saying, "I might be able to get out and go and play with this great group of guys. It's what I'm looking forward to as in regards to the playoff berth next week." So that's something to keep an eye on too, because they just activated him. He could bring a completely different element that this team hasn't seen all season to this offense next week.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't even need him to play big snaps because
no,
he
just
can make
a couple and take the top off the ball, which they haven't been able to do.
Just take a couple deep shots with him, even if he catches one big ball. I mean, it's kind of like when we had DeSean Jackson. Like, he wasn't a guy that was catching consistently 7 to 8 balls a game, but he was catching two when he would take one to the house. If Wallace plays less than Matthews and Golden Tate, I still think he can make a big impact. Like you said, just you have to account for him down the field, especially with how comfortable Nick Foles is right now throwing it deep. I mean, that's the thing, too, let's talk about. Like, now that we're talking about the receivers and their connection with Foles, I have been so happy to see Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor play the way they have the past couple weeks. Agholor finished with 2 touchdowns today. He had one against the Texans, 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks. And honestly, you know, he only had 1 touchdown before the Houston game last week, but he has come really close on a lot of plays. I mean, how many deep balls can we think of against the Giants on Thursday Night Football, against the Jaguars, both games against Dallas, those deep bombs? I mean, how many times has Nelson Agholor, the Titans, how many times has Agholor come so close to a deep play getting into the end zone where he falls short, he's inside the 10 to 5 yard line, or he gets tripped up? I mean, it's so deserving of him and Alshon too. That touchdown in the red zone, just strong hands. That reminded me of Anquan Boldin,
where you just
can't rip the ball away from him. That's Josh Norman draped all over him, who he's not what we thought he was in Carolina, but he's still a pretty damn good corner. These two, they've had a much better season than we've really realized, and we kind of have expected in the second half because of how good Zach Ertz has been. I mean, they've both pretty much matched what they did in 2017, and that was with roughly 20 less targets for Jeffrey last week compared to last year. So, I mean, they could be, if Wentz was healthy the entire second half of the middle of the season, these two could be having huge years.
I agree, and just like we've said multiple times, they've simplified this game plan. And I think today they really simplified it. I think they cut back a lot of things in that offense today.
Yeah, today was Chip Kelly 2015 level, simple.
Oh, yeah, very very basic, very black and white, which was probably smart because Washington, they were just a fuddling team who wanted to get out of this season with Josh Johnson not being another a quarterback injured on
the team.
Yeah,
they had 24 people on their IR. So, I mean, we talk about injuries. Yeah. Like, they just had to get out of this season.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't want to expose too many things. They ran the ball really well, which was great to see. Wendell Smallwood, where did this guy come from? He's popping off for what? He's breaking 8-9 yard runs all the time. He averaged 4.4 today, which is pretty good for him. If they can get these guys going, it's going to be exactly what they need. We saw Foles break that record or tie the record for consecutive completions, but you still don't want him throwing over 40 times a game when you don't need to. So if this run game, Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, you work Darren Sproles in there, Darren Sproles, who's been electric in the receiving game too, they're just going to keep getting better and better. And it's great to see all these guys doing well. Nobody's getting big numbers, but that's what this team is. They've never been a team to get 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, Zach Ertz, he's had over 100 catches, but he's just playing his part in this offense. He only had 3 for 15 today, but that's exactly what they had to do. They had to game plan this way, and they're going to go out next week and game plan against the Chicago team, and they're going to spread around the ball as well. And this team is full of unselfish guys who don't really care who gets the targets, who gets the touchdowns, who gets the snaps, who gets the runs and the handoffs. They just want to win, and you've seen that.
So unselfish, yeah.
It's so unselfish, and you see that, and that's why I'm so confident in this team, because like you see those units like the offensive line, they take so much pride in doing well. The defensive line, they play like a brotherhood. The DBs, they got the freaking ski masks out for a reason because those guys love each other. You see Jalen Mills tweeting from his couch about how much he loves these guys. Like this team loves each other so much, and they play great football when it matters. And you're going into a time of the season when experienced teams are going to come out on top. Look at the Rams. They were a one-and-done team last year.
It's why I wouldn't be surprised if Mitch Trubisky next week, it does not look very sharp. That's the thing.
Playoff experience is huge, man.
Yes,
that's what you got to take that into account. And this team went all the way with all their chips in the middle of the table last season, and they see what it takes to beat the best of the best.
I can't wait to get into this matchup with the Bears. I can't wait because it's two teams again. We talked about it last week with Houston and Philly. It's like these are two teams that could win in a shootout with the head coaches, both coming from the Andy Reid coaching tree with Nagy and Peterson, with young quarterbacks, although Foles is in now. But regardless, with quarterbacks that can break out big games, with crazy defenses, with incredible pass rushes, Fletcher Cox versus Khalil Mack this time. It's just, I can't wait to get into
this. Lane Johnson held to 0 sacks last
right,
year,
I mean,
just so you remember.
Yeah, that's it's gonna be a fun test again to see them go up against Khalil Mack. I was telling my friend watching the game, I'm like, do I go buy a Bears hat? Like, I was so into that Chicago win, and then this is a team. It's crazy how we're going from idolizing them for 24 hours to instantly them becoming the team in our way from getting to the second round and continuing to try to defend our Super Bowl. I mean, it's a crazy dynamic.
I was just so nervous about the threat that we would win this game and the Vikings would pull some stupid crap out.
You, dude,
they would
Kirk
go into
Cousins,
the playoffs. Dude, he stinks. Can we just address that? He is so bad.
Listen, this is what
he is not a good quarterback.
This is what Kirk Cousins is. He did it a couple years ago, Week 17 against the Giants, who had nothing to play for. Kirk Cousins blew it again today. I think with a couple minutes to go, I didn't check the final stat line, but Kirk Cousins had something like 80 passing yards, and you saw him get into it with Adam Thielen on the sideline. You can use John DeFilippo as your scapegoat all you want, Minnesota, but you were the team that invested $84 million in this quarterback that was supposed to take you from an NFC title game to a Super Bowl. This was supposed to be that last missing piece, and instead, I feel like he's held your team back. And all John DeFilippo did was try to make him the focal point of the offense, like you paid him and Kirk Cousins to do. I mean, you clearly wanted to be a passing team. Why did you bring in John DeFilippo, a QB guru, as your OC, and you paying Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed money? I mean, this is on them. Kirk Cousins chokes in big games. He's now 1-10-1 in the past 12 games against teams with a 500 record or above. This is just what Kirk
Cousins
is.
Let's just say he has no wins because the Eagles lost that game.
Exactly. It doesn't even... Yeah, 100%. Like, the Eagles should have won that football game. So, Kirk Cousins, like, this is the player he is, and Minnesota's stuck with it. I mean, if you wanted to make... Like, Mike Zimmer, clearly there's a disconnect with that front office and Mike Zimmer, because Zimmer clearly the entire time just wanted running the football and play action. And if that was the case... Why didn't you just keep Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater instead of paying $84 million guaranteed to a guy that you're just going to limit that way? And, I mean, they're probably right to limit him based on his talent, but you paid him that like he was supposed to do more than that. And it just, he is, that's not the case. Cousins came up small again. And that's why I was feeling confident heading into today was... First, I thought the Niners would be able to keep it close because Jared Goff has struggled the past couple weeks, but mainly what I was banking on was Kirk Cousins doing what I've seen him do his entire career, and that's come up small in big moments, and that's exactly what happened today, and that's why it's so, like, it, the best part, of, like, another great part of this, Gino, is that not only are we in the playoffs, but we knocked out Minnesota, a team that had beat us this year. I mean, the trolling continues, or should I say scolding.
I love it, too, because let's just break down everything that Minnesota has gone through since Jan 1 with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, we have to... It's just so funny to me.
It's so degrading.
Let me get it. I just keep giggling about it because it's hysterical. Because it's literally... They're like our little brother, and it's such a joke.
We're just beating up on them, tossing them around.
Yeah, I made a checklist of everything that happened. So, the Eagles... win the NFC Championship game in an embarrassing fashion over Minnesota Vikings after they took that stupid picture on the Philadelphia steps at the museum.
With, like, 30 fans that they tried to pretend like there was, like, 300.
So we go into Minnesota, win the Super Bowl in their own stadium, which they thought they would be the first home team in history to host the Super Bowl. Then we win that, and then in this week... Actually, you have to go back to when we lost to them to give them enough hope to think they could get into the playoffs this week. And then they finally lose this week to the team that they beat earlier in the season, held all the tiebreakers over, had a chance to win as long as they could beat a division rival who didn't even keep all of their starters in at home in week 17.
They didn't have Allen Robinson.
Do that.
They didn't have Allen Robinson or Eddie Jackson. I mean, the Bears didn't even have everybody in.
Minnesota. You should probably just fold your organization sooner or later. You're in debt, $84 million guaranteed to a guy who stinks. He argues with your best player. Your defense, which is supposedly the best part of your team, doesn't show up in any big moments. You guys just need to figure things out over there. It's so funny to me. I love that it happened to them and that they were the team that we kicked out and that they're going to see us play the team that they just lost to this week. And we're probably going to beat them. If we get all these matchups that we need to get going, and man, I see the run in my head. I see them going into New Orleans, and I see something crazy happening, man. And then a crazy NFC championship. Who knows what's going to happen?
You look at it with Chicago. I mean, going back to that Minnesota defensive take real quick. Minnesota was going up against. What was it? Was Kevin White Chicago's number one receiver, Bellamy? Yeah. Because Anthony Miller got hurt, I think, on the second or
Taylor
third.
Gabriel.
Yeah, second or third offensive drive, and Taylor Gabriel gets injured, and yet Mitch Trubisky, he was driving down with ease. Hats off to Troops. He made some big plays this game. I've been kind of critical of him. I don't think he would. I mean, he definitely isn't better than Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I feel like Matt Nagy has kind of hid a lot of his deficiencies this year, but he came up big for the Eagles today, and I'm for one day I'm going to be a Bears supporter because we got to quickly move on this week with a wild card matchup at Soldier Field. That's a tough place to play, cold weather, but I'm so excited that this Eagles team is in the postseason. I loved seeing the live stream of fans partying in Washington and seeing the players in the locker room. Again, guys like Chris Long, who might be retiring after this year, and Brandon Graham, and guys like Jason Peters and Darren Sproles, who weren't able to make this run with the team last year. And you see that, and it breaks your heart, too, though, to see Carson Wentz in the hoodie because he kind of helped start this run down the stretch, beating New York with that awesome fourth quarter drive. Remember that fourth and one, converting it to Nelson Aguilar to win that football game, then beating Washington on Monday Night Football. Like, those two games really set this in motion, and it breaks my heart to not have Carson Wentz out there on the field. I mean, I love having this run be with Nick Foles again because it's just like last year, which is awesome, and the nostalgic person in me likes seeing that. But at the same time, I would have loved to have Carson Wentz be the guy that's starting under center next week, and he's going to get his back scanned, but according to Ian Rappaport, it's not likely that he's going to play in the playoffs at all. It's going to be Nick Foles. But, I mean, that's just the one downside of this is, man, your heart breaks for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think you made an excellent point, though, and that you have to give everybody on this team that has played this season credit. Because, like you said, they don't win that New York game. They don't win that Washington game. At the time, we were saying they have to sweep the division. And Carson did his part. He left the field with a chance to win the game against Dallas on a stress fracture in his back. So he did his part. Nick comes in, does his part. Nate Sudfeld, man oh man, like he could be the best third quarterback in the league and could probably be considered one of the top 45 quarterbacks in the NFL.
One completion and one touchdown.
He's unbelievable, man.
Sudfeld.
It's really something. And just all the injuries that you've seen this year, like guys like Jordan Hicks, like he's not even in there. Timmy Jernigan wasn't in there for half the time. Haloti Ngata was hurt a lot of the time. Wisniewski's out of the lineup. He's back in the lineup. Sayamalu's out of the lineup. Then he's in the lineup. Then he gets injured. The list goes on and on. And this team just, Doug Peterson says it time and time again that the one thing he wished he could have had for the team this season was just consistency. And for this team to overcome the adversity of changing up the wide receivers they have each week, changing up the cornerbacks they have each week, changing up how much nickel and big nickel they can play because of the linebacker situation. It's just, hats off to the coaching staff. Hats off to these guys like Avante Maddox, who played four different positions this season. Like, that's what it takes to win, is selflessness. And getting back to that, it's just everybody on this team played their part. And Carson and Nick, there's no controversy between those guys. Those guys love each other. I guarantee you Nick got Carson a great birthday present, and Nick gave Carson a great birthday present by giving him the gift of the playoffs. And I don't care. We're not going to talk about a quarterback controversy. We're not going to talk about any controversy because this team did what nobody think this team could do when they were sitting at 4-6 and make the playoffs. And
it's
a great
card.
Feeling.
It's not even the division. Card. I mean, this is not something me and you saw coming at all. That's why, like,
Nobody saw it coming, dude. We were about to cry because we thought they were done in week 11.
Yep.
Like, we thought the season was over.
These are the memories, like, and it's why, like, even making the playoffs, and I get it for some teams. Like, last year, I'm like, why do Bills fans care so much that they made the playoffs? But then, you know, I'm in a moment like today where the Bears pull it off, and you see Brandon Graham and all the guys looking for TVs as they take care of business. And it's moments like these that you're going to remember as a fan for the rest of your life. No matter what they do in the playoffs, they can go in and lose to Chicago next week by 30 points. But this 2018 Eagles team is going to be one you remember because of the resiliency and just the bounce back and how you kept seeing it. Every week you're like, we keep seeing flashes of what this team was last year, and if they could just, like you said, find that consistency, we know this team can do damage in the playoffs. And they found enough consistency down the stretch to give us a chance, and that's all you can ask for. And I'm all in with Doug Peterson right now. I trust him to get this team ready for either, I don't know if it's going to be a Saturday matchup or a Sunday. I feel like this is going to be the Sunday game at, what, 4 o'clock? I don't know. It's definitely not going to be the first.
I saw a report from quickly on Twitter that Fox is going to have the game on Sunday at 4 because Dallas is playing Saturday night. So it's not confident, or I'm not 100% confident in that, but I'm thinking it's likely it's that 4 o'clock game that Sunday.
The Saturday afternoon games are always the crappy AFC game. And
yeah, right.
I feel like the night game is probably the 4-5 in the NFC. And then last year when we played the Falcons, was that a Sunday night game or a Saturday night game?
When they played the Falcons, it was Saturday night. I think it was the second game because it was the... No. Hang on.
I'm not 100% sure.
No, it was the Bills and Jags, and then the other game, and then we played the Sunday night football.
That's right.
Because it was Al and Collinsworth.
That's right. Yeah, it was an NBC game.
Yep.
So we get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I mean, I'm not going to complain. At least we have another game. I was not ready for this season to end, man. I was not ready.
Yeah, me neither. And like I said, I thought the worst thing that could have happened is if we won this game and the Vikings won.
Yeah, it would have been heartbreaking.
What could have been. So now we're going to see if Nick Foles has this clutch gene again and he could pull it out. And We're going to see if this team can come together once again. And it doesn't fall on one guy's shoulders, these wins. And that's what makes it incredible, is that everybody had a part to play. Rasul Douglas picks off the first pass of the game. Jake Elliott hits all the extra points and field goals he needed to today. The defensive line comes up massive. Offensive line comes up massive. The running backs come up massive. Nick Foles, 25 straight completions. Everybody played their part. And I think a team win like this against an inexperienced Chicago team with a quarterback who, much like Deshaun Watson, is that one read style guy. You could see it multiple times in this game against Minnesota that if he didn't get his first read, he's looking to run. So I think this team has all the factors, all the intangibles to make a deep run. And I wasn't ready for it to end, like you said. I'm still not ready for it to end next Sunday. I'm looking for another Lombardi, my friend.
I'm with you, man. I don't even want to think of what would happen if they did it, because, like, and then that kind of sparks the QB stuff again. But, like, back-to-back Super Bowls, the fact that that's even a chance, and they have a legitimate chance of making that a possibility.
Absolutely.
I mean, you even look in the AFC right now, there's not a team on that side that scares me either. I mean, the Patriots, I feel like, are always going to be in the mix. But you look at what Tom Brady's done the past month and how bad that defense is,
yep.
They look very beatable. And the Chiefs, I know how good Patrick Mahomes is. He terrifies me against Rasul Douglas and the secondary right now,
right.
Which is playing well, but Patrick Mahomes is on another level. I think he surpassed 50 passing touchdowns today. So, but you look at that defense too, if the Eagles are caught in another shootout like they were in the Super Bowl last year, I still like our odds. So we're going for a Lombardi. This was not just a make the playoffs to make us feel good type of situation. This is let's go win it. Now that we're in, all we needed was a chance. Now let's go try to win a championship. And we're not going to be able to do it with home field advantage. But damn it, if there's one team I trust to win three straight road games or four straight road games, it's this 2018 Philadelphia Eagles team.
You had to win against the Rams in L.A., a stadium that there was bad memories from the season before. They did that. They come home against Houston, they do that, and then they
after
go on the road.
After blowing a fourth quarter lead, something they've done all season long, and they overcame it.
I think we have to, I want to write an article on this after the season, but I think this team has righted every single one of their wrongs that they've done this season. Like, early in the season, they couldn't get the run game going. Now the run game dominates. They couldn't get wide receiver involved, and it was mostly a tight end and middle of the field short passing style game. They righted that wrong. The fourth quarter comebacks, they righted that wrong. The fourth quarter stops, they righted that wrong. They got pressures along the defensive line. The cornerback started making turnovers. Everything that was wrong in the beginning of the season finished in a position that they righted every single one of them. And it just makes me so freaking happy, because if they were muddling and just barely crawled into the playoffs, it would be one thing. But this team, they're so dominant at the moment, and that's what you need when the calendar hits January, and they have everything going in the right direction. My emotions are through the roof right now. Man, I'm so freaking happy. Go Birds.
Man, we're in the playoffs. The Eagles win it. What was it? I'm just losing everything. 24-0. The Eagles take down Washington. 9-7. They are in the playoffs. They've punched their ticket as the sixth seed. They will take on the Chicago Bears, who helped the Eagles take down Minnesota. Kirk Cousins chokes once again, as always. A little tribute to his former choking days in the NFC East with Washington. Perfect way to end the season, and hopefully it's not over for the Eagles next week as they continue their run for a 2018 Super Bowl championship. Or, well, it'd be 2019 at that point, considering we already won the 2018 Super Bowl. But that's going to make a wrap on this post-game edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Eagles are in the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. Go out, celebrate. Me and Gino are going to do that right now. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase, signing off. Follow all our accounts on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, and at DiBiase LOE, and Gino, at Gino _ LOE, to keep the conversation going. We're going to have a lot of written content, a lot of podcasts up this week as we preview the playoff game, LockedOnEagles.com. So for my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase, signing off. Go have fun tonight. The Eagles are in the playoffs, and we'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly, baby. Woo!